Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hey, in this video, I'm going to teach you about autism birthday parties and how, as an autistic person, they felt as a child. All that's coming up. Hey guys, welcome back to the Aspie World. My name is Dan. I have autism, ADHD, OCD, and dyslexia, and I make weekly videos on this type of content. So if you're new around here and you'd like to learn more, remember to hit that subscribe button by clicking the notification bell so you get notified when I upload videos. Also, everyone watching over on Facebook, be sure to give this page a like and a follow to see daily uploads from me. In this video, guys, I'm going to be talking about specific parties that I have attended that were given to me as an autistic child from a young age and explaining those from my perspective to you, which is something that I've never really seen anyone talk about before on YouTube, which is pretty cool. So if you keep watching to the end of the video, you should have a nice broad overview of exactly how to move on and structure parties in a good way, but also understand how it feels to be an autistic person attending a children's birthday party. Let me know if you are a parent planning a party, or if you're an older person who is wanting to make a birthday party for yourself and you're on the spectrum, or you're a parent of a kid on the spectrum and you want to know the best thing. Let me know, are you someone who's putting a party on for yourself or somebody who is putting a party on for a child? I'd love to know. Please put it in the comment section down below. I read and respond to every single comment. Let's get on. Guys, it's been a hot minute. Oh man, it's so good to be making videos every single day. Also, this is a Tamagotchi. I'm actually doing this thing where I'm trying to keep a Tamagotchi alive now for as long as I can. I actually have a Tamagotchi obsession, and if you guys know anything about people on the spectrum, you know that autistic people have obsessions. My obsession right now, Tamagotchis. Right guys, so I wanted to kind of do this video, and I've been thinking about it for a while because I saw this photo of me as a kid in a birthday party, and it was my birthday party. And I'm like screaming at the birthday cake with the candles in it. And you know, my friends sometimes tag me in Facebook on this and say like, oh, you know, this is Dan, how are you enjoying birthday parties, blah, blah, blah. But there's a real kind of issue behind that. You know, autism birthday parties aren't the same as having, you know, neurotypical kids' birthday parties. Yes, the principle is the same, where you know, put out some food, invite a lot of kids, put on some music, some games and some presents. And it's pretty much a party for a kid, you know, between the ages of like, I don't know what, like 3 and like 6 or 7 or 8 even. You know, that's typically how parties go. And when you get a little bit older, you do different things. You know, you might want to go, I don't know, skateboarding with your friends on your birthday. Look, I don't know, but I'm talking about autism birthday party requirements, issues, and all the things encompass. Now, that picture was specifically interesting and impactful. I actually use it as a thumbnail in this video, but I'll put it on here in the screen so you guys can see it anyway. But the thing about that picture was that it's me and how I felt, and it like encapsulated how I felt at that moment in time. And so this is, for me, this is what always happened. My parents would rent out a hall, and I was kind of lucky because right next door to my house was like a community center. So my parents would rent out a community center. They'd fill it with balloons. I have a balloon phobia, by the way. If anybody doesn't know here, I actually have a balloon phobia and a phobia of the dark as well, which is kind of like, that's just me. And so the balloon phobia thing is super interesting. It's because I'm scared of the uncertainty of the balloon. Like, is it going to pop? Is it not? You know, it feels weird, and the tension, it's all weird. Anyway, so my parents had filled the hole with balloons. They'd create a bunch of food that I didn't even like cheese sandwiches, like cheese and onion sandwiches, egg mayonnaise sandwiches. I didn't like any of these things. And then they would just fill it with loads of food, like typical generic party foods. And then invite a lot of kids around, and then blast loads of music. It was a nightmare. So I'd go in, and this is the thing. I'd go out my house, and I'd be excited because there was something going on for me. You know, I'd be like, oh wow, my parents are doing something for me. But when I'd go in there to the room, I didn't actually like being around it because there was too many kids, it was too noisy, and every kid wanted a piece of you on your birthday. You know, everybody wants to be like, oh, happy birthday, here's a present, here's X, Y, and Z, whatever. And they'd always want to come and talk to you, and I felt that was like super overwhelming. Like, everybody wanted to talk to me, and I was like, you know, like hot under the collar, like, oh my goodness, you know, everyone leave me alone, give me some space. And then you've got to like join in games like, I absolutely despised playing games like musical chairs and things because I knew I was always going to be left out. I'm not very good at playing those kind of games where you have to, you know, listen to instruction and stop. Those games were no good for me. And like typically in kids' birthday parties, you'd have games like, you know, musical chairs where you have to like spin around and the music stops and then you all sit down and then they take a chair away and then each time, obviously, there's less chairs, so more people, and the person standing up obviously lose out on the game, and then they're out. It's just the weirdest game ever, and that whole used to give me super anxiety because I knew that like there's a potential. I just wanted it to be fun and just like calm, but it was just like, oh, you know, oh my goodness, I've got to try and sit on this chair before the music stops. It was just horrible. The same with like Pass the Parcel, where they'd wrap a gift that anybody could have, and they'd stop the music, and then the person who had it could unwrap it, and then they pass it on. And there's a bunch loads of layers of wrapping paper. But again, the uncertainty of if I'd get the gift, if somebody else would have it, then I'd feel awkward if I had it. It's just horrendous. And so then another one is that they'd light the cake with candles and they turn out all the lights to make the candles glow because it'd be in the middle of the day, you know. And my birthday's in July, it's not July 15th, so it's right in the middle of summer, it'd be bright everywhere. So they'd have to close all the curtains, turn all the lights off, and that kind of scared me. I didn't like having the lights off, I didn't like having a room dimly lit, and then all these people singing at you, and the focus was on you, and that was super triggering and super overwhelming. And then, you know, you're forced to kind of like, you have to blow a candle out and then you have to sit down and you have to like, you know, all the rubbish that comes with it. So a lot of the time what I used to do is I'd be so upset because I'd be excited that I wanted to have this party or this thing for me, for my birthday, to celebrate my birthday. I was excited to do that. But then obviously I wasn't excited about the bits that were completely outside of like my league of wanting to do. And my parents kind of, I don't think they could understand it. You know, they didn't really get it, which is a shame really. Because they tried, but they weren't looking at it. For instance, like I didn't get my diagnosis until I was 26 years old. So when I was a kid, they took me to all kinds of doctors and different types of medical professionals, and they couldn't really get any, you know, answers, so that my parents just kind of left it. So, but they didn't really take on board anything to do with autism because there was rarely anything around at that time. It was like information was scarce and they couldn't do anything about it. So I used to end up kind of just running home because my house was right next door to the centre. So I just run home because my house would be open because we were just next door, you know, there was no crazy kind of distance. So I'd jump over the wall, go home and just sit on the sofa. And a lot of the time I'd cry and I'd get really upset and then I'd be super triggered and I'd just be exhausted. At the end of it, I'd just be like, oh, I just kind of collapsed because it was just so overwhelming and I just didn't have a fun time. My parents kind of got used to this. After about four or five of these parties, they just kind of pulled the plug because they said, you know, Dan's not enjoying it, he doesn't really like it. And that was fine. I remember one time though, it was the worst one, I think, was when I think I was like 7 or 8, and my parents did like a party in the house, which was crazy, you know, having kids all in the house. You know, everyone's done that, you know, have a birthday party in the house, you know, less kids, and that still didn't work. And I was so exhausted and upset with that. My mum said to me, oh, well, why don't we go out to the shop and what, you know, the toy store, and then we can spend your birthday money on any toys, because I got like a bunch of money from kids who didn't want to bring presents, they just wanted to give money, which was fine. And so that was kind of fun, like, because my mum realised that I was upset at the time, she took me out to the store and I was able to kind of like go around the store and buy stuff. And I remember actually specifically this birthday, I was buying a bunch of Beetlejuice action figures from the movie Beetlejuice, right? And then and I was putting these action figures in the trolley, and I'm obsessed with action figures, I still collect action figures, love it. And a friend of mine's grandmother stopped and was like, oh wow, you know, you got a lot of toys in that car. And my mum was like, yeah, you know, it's his birthday and he kind of wants to chill out, and we took him down here to spend his birthday money on some toys that he really wanted. And I was in a dilemma because I had like a certain amount of money, I could buy like these four or five action figures, but there was one more to the set which I couldn't get and I didn't have enough money. So my friend Caleb, who's one of my best friends, his grandmother actually gave me the money that I needed to get this last action figure as a gift for me, and it was really nice of her, and I always remember that, and it was really nice. So Brenda her name is, and yeah, she's a lovely woman. So that was really, really interesting that all happened. But moving forward, how can my parents do better? Straight up, understand sensory needs of autistic children. If noise and sounds are triggering for you, reduce the noise, reduce the amount of children you invite over. Maybe only a select few, maybe a handful, like four or five kids, not like 20 kids, you know, like typically parties are. Reduce the noise level, make sure that everyone is kind of having a nice tame time, because kids like to get overexcited in birthday parties, but if you know the rules before attending something like that, the parents could probably prep them, and the kind of games that you would put on would be more pleasing to just like hang out. Like maybe it would be watching a movie on a screen or something, or maybe it would be playing with like a sensory corner. Maybe make a sensory corner for the kids. That would be super, super cool. But in terms of having loud music and forcing kids to run around in circles to kind of jump on a chair and like filling them with sugar, maybe we could think about different ways and different things that we could do in those situations so that it's not dependent on like high caffeine content, high sugar content, high processed food content. Maybe you could do something a bit more nice, like have some more fruits and vegetables on the table so the kids don't get too hyperactive and cause triggering for the people on the autism spectrum. And also maybe just try like juices rather than caffeinated drinks. I don't know if it was just a British thing that everyone had like cola and lemonade that had like caffeine in them, you know, over here in the UK. And then keep the music a nice level. If you're going to put music on, make sure it's not kind of like crazy blasting music that's going to get everyone excited and hyped. And know the triggers. If your kid doesn't like balloons, don't fill the room with balloons. What on earth are my parents thinking? You know, if your kid doesn't like onions or cheese, don't offer cheese in any sandwiches, you know, like, because it's their birthday party at the end of the day. Make it as accommodating for them as possible, because what's the point of having a party if they're not able to attend it, if it's for them, right? And so simple things like that will change the whole dynamic. Also, limit the amount of time that the party is on for. Why not just give it like an hour rather than like 2 hours, or give it like half an hour? You know, small spurts of it, and do something, and this is gonna be key. So kind of like how I learned with my mum after the last party, which was just terrible, is do something before that's super relaxing. Like for me, it was playing the Nintendo. I used to love Super Mario Brothers 3. I used to play it all the time, so I'd play the Nintendo. All the time. So if I had played my Nintendo in the morning of the party rather than get ready and be forced to do kind of like ridiculous things like wear jeans and stuff, which I didn't really do as a kid, because I had this phobia of jeans, kind of like not a phobia, but just didn't feel right. It was horrible. Like it was like a sensory thing. Anyway, so played Mario in the morning, wear whatever I wanted to my party, go to the party, and then after the party, go do something else, like maybe an activity I like. I used to like Lego or building things, so I, you know, if I was to do that, kind of like going shopping for action figures. That's a cool, relaxing process because I'm really into it and I want to, you know, categorically look at the figures and get this collection. So that was kind of cool. So always think about what you could do before and after the party if you are wanting to put on a party, but you also want to make it as cool and less stressful for your kid. Super, super awesome. And this goes for adults as well. Like this transposes forever. I'm just giving an example of kids' parties because typically parents are going to be wanting to know more about parties for kids on the spectrum, trying to figure out what's the best thing to do. In my opinion, those tips I just gave you are golden. If you follow those rules, listen to your kid, find out what triggers that they have. Don't turn the lights off, for goodness sake. Just leave the lights on, do a birthday cake. It's fine, because small things that you may not realize have huge impact on somebody's sensory processing issue, and also the way that they experience the world, just from being somewhere where there could be a lot of noise and children and smiles, and there's a lot of things to go in, right? So there's no wonder that I had a ton of meltdowns growing up and doing those kind of birthday parties. But that being said, my parents aren't evil people. They just didn't understand, and I guess they weren't really that way thought inclined to go and seek more, you know, I don't know, different ways of thinking. But anyway, I'm not slating my parents. I'm just saying how they did it one way, and what I can take away from that is to have to change things. So that being said, guys, if you found this video valuable for anybody, please share it on Facebook and Twitter. And also, guys, if you are new around here, please hit that subscribe button and check out my next video. It's around here somewhere. All right, guys, I'll see you next time. Peace.